Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
We're back. It's 12 after. 800-531-3815. Toll free coast to coast. I want to introduce you to a couple of ladies who have written a book together called The Ups and Downs of Raising a Bipolar Child, a Survival Guide for Parents. Judith Letterman, ladies and gentlemen, is a journalist by profession. She's also a scout leader and a public relations professional, but she also has a son who has the bipolar disorder. And she felt it was important to share some things that she'd learned with some other people, and she asked Dr. Candida Fink to join her and to help her write the book. Dr. Fink is a board-certified child psychologist, child and adolescent psychiatrist, I should say, and graduated from Boston College and Harvard Medical School. And these two ladies are with us right now. We're going to talk about this. Judith Letterman, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much, and congratulations on your anniversary.
Oh, thank you. I appreciate that. And Dr. Fink?
Yes.
Welcome.
Thank you very much.
I really admire what you've done here, Judith, to, you know, taking the courage and the energy and the effort to put this together. And Dr. Fink, thank you for joining her in this effort. What I'd like for you to do to start with, perhaps Dr. Fink would be a good idea to start with you and get you to tell us what the bipolar disorder is.
Well, bipolar disorder is a disorder of mood, of the most classic presentation is periods of severe depression, alternating with even mood, and then periods of what's called mania. Mania is really the opposite of depression. If in depression nothing's good, then in mania everything's great.
Uh-huh.
And there's sort of this really unabashed, you know, energy to do anything and everything, which of course can be quite dangerous.
Right. All right, and Judith, your son, who's now a teenager, had this condition. How did you first notice that there was a problem?
Well, when he was 5 years old, he threatened suicide. He stood on a pier over in Mystic, Connecticut, said, "I'm going to throw myself in. I don't want to be here anymore."
At five?
Yeah, 5 years old. And I was told by psychologists he was just trying to get attention, ignore it, it'll go away. But it didn't go away, and he would actually vacillate between tearfulness, depression, unhappiness, and these temper tantrums and irritability and punching his fist through windows and getting giddy and talking about how he wants to be the president of the United States. I mean, he would go back and forth, and one day he just stopped sleeping, actually for 3 days, and the third day I called the psychologist again and said, "What should I do?" And he said, "Get him to a hospital and see what's going on." And that was my first step.
And how old was he at that time?
He was 8 years old.
8 years
and
old.
And initially he was misdiagnosed. They said he was ADHD. They put him on Ritalin.
Attention deficit and
hyperactivity.
Hyperactivity, uh-huh, okay.
And it sent the medication Ritalin, which is a stimulant, just sent him into a worse state than he had been in. And he was on it for 2 weeks, and we had to protect everybody because he was threatening people with knives and threatening to burn the house down. And it was a very scary period. And then we got the diagnosis finally at age 8, bipolar disorder.
Mm-hmm. Dr. Fink, were the symptoms of Judith's son typical?
That is a very typical way for children to present with rages and really out of control episodes, behavioral episodes. Certainly, the depression and self harm, suicidal thoughts are a common warning sign that you've got a real serious mood disorder going on in a child.
Is there evidence now that this is genetic?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
It's not brought on. It can't be brought on by environment.
You can't bring it on, you know, out of the blue from environment. Environment and genetics do combine to either sort of encourage or aggravate a condition or perhaps to reduce it or limit its expression.
Mm-hmm.
But But with a disorder as severe as bipolar disorder, those effects are limited. It's a disease that's probably going to present itself if it's in the genes.
Judith, the symptoms that you observed, you were totally, sounds like you really hadn't seen that before. So it sounds like this is the kind of disease that many times. Well, you say yourself it took basically 3 years to find out what was wrong.
Yeah.
What can we do to prevent going so long? I know that's the reason you wrote the book.
Well, I think a lot of parents nowadays, and I think there's more of an education out there now than there was 5 years ago, when my son was first diagnosed. I think parents who see their child having extreme mood episodes, and going off or talking about suicide, should immediately get to a child psychiatrist. I mean, that's the first mm-hmm. thing they should do.
And somebody really, because you had a misdiagnosis situation, probably mm-hmm. you need to find somebody who has that background, who is used to seeing that.
Yes, a child psychiatrist who has seen early onset bipolar disorder, and there's also a whole lot of information available on the internet. There's actually a whole organization called the Child and Adolescent Bipolar Foundation.
Give us that website, please.
Pardon?
Give us the website, please.
It's www.bpkids.org.
Say that again, CP
Kids? www.b as in boy, p as in Peter.
Okay,
kids.
BP for bipolar kids.
Dot org.
Okay. bpkids.org.
Right. Now, we also have a website with information. It's called www.parentingbipolars.com. So it's
right.
parentingbipolars, plural, .com.
Okay. Dr. Letterman, how unusual is...
I'm not a doctor.
I'm sorry.
I'm just a mom.
I meant Dr. Fink. How unusual is it for a five-year-old to present these kind of symptoms?
That's still pretty rare to see that degree of mood disturbance in a child that young. The occurrence of bipolar disorder in the adult population is probably about anywhere between 1-3%. Our definition keeps expanding a bit.
Right.
So certainly there are 1-3% of children who will ultimately become bipolar. The trick, and that's a lot of children.
That is a lot of children. Stand by, ladies. We've got to take a quick break. When we come back, I've got some more questions for these ladies, and we're going to find out some more about this terrible condition. The book is called The Ups and Downs of Raising a Bipolar Child by Judith Letterman and Dr. Candida Fink. 20 after. Stay with us. We'll be right back. We're back. It's 23 after. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. We're visiting with Judith Letterman and Dr. Candida Fink, who are the authors of The Ups and Downs of Raising a Bipolar Child, a Survival Guide for Parents. And, Judith, I would like for you to give us those two websites again, please.
Sure. www.parentingbipolars.com.
Now, that's your website, right?
That's my website.
Okay.
And that actually has links to a lot of others. But
okay.
The other one that everyone should know about is www.bpkids.org. So bpkids.org.
Okay. And now, your website, we can also find out more about the book and order it there?
Yes, they could click on Amazon through my website, or they could click on Amazon. If you have Amazon up on your computer now, you could just find it on Amazon.
Dr. Fink, I want to talk about this disease as it moves through the age through the life of a person. It's rare, you said, that for it to present as a very small child, as Judith's son did. But when is it most likely to present itself?
The most typical presentation is actually late adolescence, young adulthood. And then there's actually another little bump of people who present in their mid-40s who really had maybe some depression, but then show their first big manic episode in midlife.
How often is puberty seen as, does puberty mask, so to speak, the symptoms? And we think, well, they're going through puberty, they're just being moody, that kind of thing.
I think it happens very frequently, you know, and I think it delays treatment. It delays mm-hmm. getting help because people, the parents themselves, everyone around them say, oh, you know, you're being too worried. Don't be silly. They're just a teenager.
Right. Yeah. What about, Judith, is your son going to, will he expect to have this condition the rest of his life?
We are assuming he will. Actually, his grandfather had this illness, so it was a gift.
Yeah. So it can be passed on. It can be hereditary.
Yes, yes, absolutely.
I didn't know that.
His grandfather was actually given away at the age of 9. His mother couldn't handle him.
Wow.
So we know that his grandfather probably had the early onset of it.
Mm-hmm. Well, let's talk about that. You know, there are people trying to run small businesses out there with this bipolar. And I have to make a confession. I have to make a confession, ladies. I have talked about this, and sort of I've joked a little bit over the years, and I shouldn't have. Small business owners, I have said, live in a bipolar world. I mean, we a lot of times our world is a roller coaster. And I've just used that analogy, and I probably shouldn't have. I certainly didn't mean to be insensitive when I did. But the truth is there are people trying to run businesses. Either they have the condition or a member of their family does, and it makes it rough, doesn't it, Judith?
It does make it rough. In fact, a lot of one of the first things to go is child care. You find that it's very hard to maintain child care. We found on our survey online that 40% of parents with kids with bipolar had immediate child care problems. That was one of the first things that they noticed, something's wrong. But I've known parents to actually take paper routes, to quit great jobs or, you know, close businesses because they just couldn't keep it going. The child takes so much focus.
Right. What about... Let's talk about what can be done about this, Dr. Fink.
Mm-hmm.
There is medication that can help, right?
There are medications, absolutely. There are mood stabilizers and medications for depression and cognitive behavioral therapy, working with families, certainly educating everyone around the child, teachers, educators, everyone who works with the child. That's going to provide already a huge step because this kid's going to be treated as a good kid with a problem,
right,
rather than as a bad kid.
Judith, is your son mainstreamed?
No, he's in a special school right now, and
is
they're trying to mainstream him.
For a child with bipolar disorder to have to be in a special school?
Well, he has to be in a school where they understand the nature of the disorder and can accommodate the classroom for him or
mm-hmm.
her. You know, basically, if a child has an emotional episode in the middle of the classroom, it's not going to do anyone any good if there isn't someone to sort of diffuse them and help them through it. These kids frequently are bullied. They end up on the wrong side of bullying.
We need to recognize that this is a disease. It's not a weakness, right, ladies?
That's correct. That's so important to understand.
Yeah, that's the
key.
We've got to realize that, folks. If you know people like this, they're sick. They're not weak. They're not being difficult. They've got an illness, and is the human genome research going on right now going to help in the future?
Oh, absolutely. We are so hopeful that down the road we will understand more and more. It's probably not a single gene. It's a complicated disorder.
Right.
But the more we know, the more we can make appropriate medications.
Are the medicines... I'm sorry, go ahead, Judith.
It's not a function of bad parenting either. A lot
right.
of times you see these kids and you're thinking, well, all they need is a good spanking.
Yeah.
You know? But it's not. It's not like the child wants to be out of control, you know?
Are the medications... One last question. Are the medications today... to the point where they've been able to minimize the side effects?
Well, we're certainly doing our best, but we're not where we need to be yet with that. It's always a balancing act, the risk of the medicine versus
right.
the risk of not treating.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay, ladies, thank you for your time. Judith, thank you for your journey and for your efforts on behalf of others out there. And Dr. Fink, thank you for that. Give us your website one more time, Judith.
It's www.parentingbipolars.com.
Thanks, ladies. Quick break. I'll be right back. 29 after. Stay with me. The show is brought to you by IBM and Office Depot.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.